The Sixth Amendment to the Constitution guarantees the right to qualified legal counsel for those facing criminal charges, even if they can't afford it. But what if the state or county can't afford to provide it? I'm Mike Green. You're listening to the Jefferson Exchange on the News and Information Service of JPR. You can send us your questions or comments to jx@jeffnet.org. Joining me on the exchange to help us learn more about challenges impacting the public defender's landscape is Jessica Campfy, Executive Director of the Oregon Defense Commission. Welcome.
Hi, good morning.
And we also have Alyssa Bartholomew, Senior Deputy Defender here in Jackson County. Welcome.
Good morning.
Jessica, as I understand this problem, it appears to cut across four primary areas. The first are those in custody. These are the humans who have been jailed and await due process. The second is out-of-custody humans who are free but still face charges. The third is a lack of public defenders to represent individuals facing charges, whether in or out of custody. And the fourth is the funding needed to support this due process guaranteed by the Constitution. Did I get that right?
That's a good summary of what we're looking at in the public defense landscape right now for Oregon.
So can you give us an overview of the problem through these four areas?
Sure. So fundamentally, Oregon does not have enough public defenders to meet the need. And so what that means is that when somebody is charged with a crime in Oregon, there may not be a public defender available to represent them. Some of those people charged with crime are held in custody. And right now, there are about 150 people in Oregon who are held in custody who don't have a lawyer. We are working very hard and prioritizing assignment of counsel for those folks who are in custody without a lawyer, because those are the most vulnerable folks in our criminal justice system. They have the greatest liberty interests at stake, and so they are our top priority for identifying counsel. And we have really improved our ability to identify counsel for those people and to bring down the number of days that they're waiting for a lawyer. There are also people who are charged with a crime. There's no lawyer available to represent them, and they are out of custody. Those numbers in Oregon are much larger. Those people often have to call into court or come back to court multiple times while we work to identify a lawyer to represent them on their case. While we work to get them a lawyer, their case is in a bit of a holding pattern. So it's not possible for them to move the case forward to trial or any other type of resolution while they wait for a lawyer. And so that can create lengthy delays in the court system.
So how many are out of custody?
I don't have that number off the top of my head, but it's in excess of 3,000.
Okay. And so when they're in limbo, what happens to their lives? I mean, can they travel? Can they do the normal things? Or are they constrained?
So it depends. When somebody is released from custody or they appear in court and they've got a case pending, they'll meet with a judge at the first time they come to court. And one of the important things that a judge does is they tell that person what the rules are while their case is pending. And so those rules can be things like you can't go to certain places, you can't see certain people. And so they can be significant infringements on a person's liberty while their case is pending. And those rules will stay in effect while they're waiting for counsel. And that can create some serious challenges for people's lives. The other challenges that exist is that it can be difficult to look for a job or to secure housing if you have a criminal charge pending against you. And so people do have some very negative consequences for their day-to-day lives by having their cases stay open without counsel.
And what's the average time of people waiting in jail for their cases to be heard? And what's the average time of people who are out of custody?
I'm not sure that I can give you an average time for the people waiting in jail, but I will say that this spring, the federal courts passed a rule that says that if we cannot find a lawyer for somebody in custody within 7 days, that that person has to be released from custody. So our team has been working very hard to identify the top tier cases for people who are in custody. So that means the cases that have the greatest public safety risk, and prioritizing getting counsel for those folks within that 7 day period. And we have successfully secured counsel for everyone in that top tier category within those first 7 days.
Okay, well, let's look a little bit local. Alyssa, what does the problem look like here in Jackson County?
Well, Jackson County is very invested in their police force. With that, it's translated into a higher average number of arrests, and thus those that are converted to a criminal case within the system. Our jail is understaffed, and therefore, you know, we spend a lot of time waiting for inmate visits. We are having issues getting discovery in a timely manner. With the age of technology, this means that more time is spent reviewing videos, body cams, interviews, and so on. And often, we don't get offers on cases until maybe a week before trial is set. And these are the issues that are making it harder to resolve cases in a timely manner.
So what's the average time that we're talking about people being in jail and out of custody before their cases are heard?
Currently, my caseload consists of pretty high-level crimes, and these often take more time to go through the system in general. But what I'm seeing is that cases are typically taking at least 6 months to possibly even a year to go from date of arrest to date of trial. With ones that are out of custody, those that don't have an attorney that are already representing them, those people are waiting in excess of 6+ months for an attorney to be appointed. At that time, then it just depends on the particular case.
And what's the average time for those who are in custody?
I can't really pinpoint a number because each case is so different. But like I said, the ones that I deal with, my caseload, because it's that higher level complex cases, those are taking anywhere from 6 months to a year in order to get to resolve.
Okay. Do we have a number of those that are in custody and a number of those that are out of custody?
Jessica, do you have that number with you? I don't necessarily have that.
Can you rephrase the question for me? A number of those who are in custody and out of custody, in what category? Just how many people in Oregon are in our jails?
Well,
is that the question?
Well, the number you gave me originally, I believe, was 150 that are in custody.
Oh, Oregon has about 150 people in custody who don't have access to a public defender right now.
Right, and the number of people who are out of custody is in excess of 3,000. Is that correct?
That's correct. The number of people out of custody without a public defender right now is in excess of 3,000.
Okay, so I'm looking for those numbers here in Jackson County.
Oh, okay. Thank you. So in Jackson County, there's about 830 folks on the unrepresented list. Of the people in Jackson County who are on that unrepresented list, about 23 of them are in jail without a lawyer, and then the remainder are out of custody. The largest portion of people on Jackson County's unrepresented list are charged with misdemeanor offenses. 559 of Jackson County's unrepresented people are charged with misdemeanors.
Okay. My guests today are Jessica Kampfe, Executive Director of the Oregon Defense Commission, and Alyssa Bartholomew, a Senior Deputy Defender here in Jackson County. We're talking about the lack of a sufficient number of public defenders to ensure due process guaranteed by the Sixth Amendment to the Constitution. You can send your questions or comments to jx@jeffnet.org. So, Jessica, how did we get here? Can you give us some historical context?
Absolutely. So, historically, Oregon has contracted for all of our public defense representation. So that means that the state agency hired private contractors to provide public defense throughout the state. Now, some of those contractors are large law firms, and mostly those are nonprofit law firms. And then others are smaller mom-and-pop shops. Those are our private bar public defenders. And many of those have organized together to form groups called consortia. And the state would contract with both those larger law firms and with those consortia, and they would pay a certain amount of money for every case that a lawyer handled. And the amount of money was really low, like $300 to handle a misdemeanor. And the lawyer would get paid that amount of money regardless of how much work they did on their client's case. So if they met their client and they plead guilty the same day, they get the $300. If they go all the way to trial, they get the $300. A study was done of Oregon's system, and the study said that's unconstitutional because the lawyer's interest in making money is pitted against their client's interest in advocacy. And so Oregon underwent a reform effort, and part of that reform effort was putting caseload maximums on how many lawyers, how many cases a lawyer could represent within a period of time. Now, Oregon adopted that policy because it's national best practice. We learned from the American Bar Association that one of the foundational principles of public defense is that you control a lawyer's caseload. And so the tool that we've used to do that is putting a maximum number of cases that a lawyer can represent in a given period of time. So when Oregon switched and they went away from that system that incentivized lawyers to take way too many cases to a system that really centered client advocacy by putting maximums on the number of cases a lawyer could handle, it revealed that we have a huge shortage of public defenders in Oregon. So we don't have enough lawyers to meet the need. And that's particularly true in Jackson County. In Jackson County in particular, we have it's a county that really doesn't have a lot of lawyers generally for any sort of legal needs that people have, and particularly doesn't have a lot of public defenders. So charging stayed the same and prosecution stayed the same, but the number of available public defenders decreased. And so as a result, you end up with folks who qualify for public defense representation who don't have access to a lawyer.
So Alyssa, we have a couple of minutes left for this segment. What does Jackson County need right now to mitigate, if not resolve, the current crisis? But before you answer that, let me ask you this as well. What is the max caseload in the timeline?
Well, as far as the state is concerned, we have a certain amount of cases that are judged by weight. Depending on the type of case, is a weight system balance. And so a high-level sex crime, like a murder case, is 500 plus points. And if it's a low-level misdemeanor, we're looking at something that's more like 25 points. So as far as numbers are concerned, it's hard to kind of determine that amount. In our office, I think we average about 2,300. Is that correct, Jessica?
2,800 case points for the workload model in the state trial office.
And so depending on the kind of cases that we have, that translates to the amount of points that we can take individually as an attorney.
Gotcha. That sounds pretty complicated. What does Jackson County need to do right now to mitigate, if not resolve, this crisis?
Well, our office was just down visiting in Jackson County because one of the lessons that we have learned is that the solutions are really going to be local, and they're going to come at the local community level because that's where the impacts are being felt. And so we traveled out to the community to talk about what people are seeing on the ground there, what their biggest concerns are, and what resources can be used in order to help mitigate the crisis. We came away from that meeting with some exciting deliverables, one of which is we are going to use our state trial team, the office where Alyssa is working right now, to start an early disposition court so we can have public defenders giving people legal advice at their first appearance and helping to enter some low-level crimes into diversion programs.
Let's
like
hold it right
DUIs
there, Jessica.
Or drug
let's crimes. Hold it right there. We're going to come back on the other side. We'll talk about this disposition court. But we've run out of time for this segment, so let's take a short break and come back with my guest, Jessica Camphy, Executive Director of the Oregon Defense Commission, and Alyssa Bartholomew, Senior Deputy Defender here in Jackson County. I'm Mike Green. The JX will be right back. So before the break, we were talking about some of the solutions to mitigate the crisis here in Jackson County, and disposition courts was the focus. Please continue.
Thank you. This is Jessica Campy, Executive Director of the Oregon Public Defense Commission, and we were talking about how our team was just recently traveling down to Jackson County to talk about targeted solutions that could work in that community. And so when we look at the population of unrepresented people in Jackson County, we see that a lot of those folks are charged with misdemeanor offenses. And we also know that in Jackson County in particular, there's been a large law enforcement effort to enforce Oregon's new drug crime, and that we are seeing a growing number of those charges, those possession of drug charges, being filed in the Jackson County criminal courts. Since that law came into effect in September, 145 new cases of drug possession have been charged. So we thought about what are some ways in which we can get folks who have these low-level offenses and potentially are dealing with addiction issues access to counsel earlier in the process. One strategy can be for us to use our new state trial office to do an early disposition court. So that means reviewing police reports and counseling their clients at their very first appearance and giving them an opportunity to potentially enter into programs like a diversion program that would require them to get access to drug or alcohol treatment in exchange for potentially earning a dismissal of their case on the back end. So that's a strategy that we talked to our public defenders about, but also with the courts and the district attorney, and there seemed to be a lot of community buy-in. So we're interested in advancing that program and seeing where we can go with it.
Okay. Well, Alyssa, give us some background on this issue for Jackson County. So I heard from Jessica that there seems to be an accelerated filling up of the jails, for lack of a better term. And this new measure, revision of the measure 110, has allowed for more arrests due to small possession of drugs. But was that always the case? Have we always had this problem of more people filling up the jails and fewer people able to represent them here in Jackson County? Give us some background.
Well, I've been an attorney here in Jackson County since 2005. And most of that time has been spent in public defense work. With that, I have noticed that when I first started long, long time ago, there were quite a number of people who are being arrested and put into custody, but it's nothing like it is now. Back then, we probably averaged maybe 1 to 3 murders a year. However, now in Jackson County, that number has quadrupled. And because of that, I think that the number of arrests that have happened in general in Jackson County has skyrocketed. Our jail is overcrowded, and therefore that puts a big problem into things. Plus, we're also dealing with attorneys who are trying so hard to get through and resolve these cases. But like I said before, there are so many nuances now with the technology. So it means that we're reviewing things much more thoroughly, and it's taking much more time. The district attorney's office and the judges in Jackson County really do want to try and get this under control. It's just going to take a whole bunch of people getting together and trying to make sure that everybody's needs are met in order to resolve this crisis.
So what, in your estimation, is contributing to more crime?
I'm sorry, what was that?
What, in your estimation, is contributing to more crime? If there are more arrests, people are committing more crimes. What's contributing to that acceleration in Jackson County?
Well, I believe that, like I said before, Jackson County has invested a lot in their police force. The number of police agencies and the employment have doubled since 2005. And therefore, we have a lot of people who, are getting arrested for various crimes. I have noticed there's a huge uptick in the misdemeanor crimes that are being arrested because of the passage of the 4002. So if I can go back a little bit, when Measure 110 was enacted and drug crimes, possession crimes were, you know, therefore made to a basically a violation, we didn't see a ton of, you know, low-level misdemeanor possession crimes. Now that we have 4002 and 110's been repealed, now we're seeing much more of an intake uptick again in those possession crimes. So I think that with that in place, that has kind of driven things also. And also, property crimes are on the rise in general.
My guests today are Jessica Camphy, Executive Director of the Oregon Defense Commission, and Alyssa Bartholomew, Senior Deputy Defender here in Jackson County. You can send us your questions or comments to jx@jeffnet.org. So, Jessica, can the problems we're talking about be resolved by just throwing enough money at it?
The problem is, needs to be resolved through a multidisciplinary effort. So we need partnership from the courts, from the district attorney's offices, from the sheriff's office, from the public defenders, working together to try to come up with resolutions. There are not enough public defenders in Jackson County to meet the need. So we can address that problem by increasing the number of public defenders in Jackson County. And we have some great operations that are working down there. We have a wonderful nonprofit law firm and consortia attorneys, private bar public defenders, and our state trial division. However, recruiting new lawyers into Jackson County has been a very difficult thing historically and continues to be so today. Another way that we can increase the ability of public defenders to do their jobs is by diversifying the workforce. And by that, I mean bringing in professionals to help support the public defense function. Professionals like social workers, case managers, legal assistants, investigators. And so we could more efficiently use public defenders' time by having those professional supports. Another way in which we can address the problem is to decrease the demand for public defenders. And essentially that means looking at what the greatest public safety needs are in the community and prioritizing those public safety needs and maybe not charge in some cases that are lower threat to public safety. And that really would require work from the district attorney's office, the sheriff's office, the police to do that prioritization. Finally, we can make our courts more efficient, and so we can think about ways in which we can create paths out of the court system, earlier ways to resolve cases, expedite discovery and plea negotiations, and so that really is a collaborative effort. So what we need in order to get out of this problem is to have all of the people who have a stake in this solution come together and work on problem solving.
So you want to get everyone on the same page.
I absolutely want to get everyone on the same page.
Okay, so help us understand the compensation rates for public defenders, how you recruit them and how you retain them, because I'm sure there's an attrition rate. And if you say that it's difficult to get people to come here in Jackson County and we have an accelerated rate of people going into the jails, our jails are overcrowded and we're having to release them after a certain period of time. How do you fix that if we don't have enough public defenders who are willing to come here and stay here? So talk to me about these compensation rates.
Sure. So Oregon has a very complicated system for public defense. So on the one hand, we have this really exciting new program, which is opening our state trial offices. And those are state jobs where the compensation is comparable to other state lawyers like the Department of Justice. We have been able to recruit lawyers to Jackson County using those positions. And we have lawyers from that have traveled from Florida, from Montana, from other parts of Oregon to represent clients in Jackson County in our state offices. So that's a really exciting recruitment tool for the area. In terms of how our other public defenders are paid, our contracted public defenders, we pay them a certain amount of money for the position. And then they have to figure out how to do all of the overhead, paying their staff, paying for their rent and their computers and all of that out of that money. So on average, we pay about $250,000 a year, but that is not the person's take-home pay, right? That's the entire cost of running their business. And so then the actual salary ends up varying from one employer to the next, which isn't something we have a lot of oversight for. We also are moving to a system that compensates more lawyers hourly. Our hourly rate is $130 an hour or $145 an hour, which is significantly below the market value for lawyers in the Jackson County area. What we're hearing from private bar lawyers in that area is that they are charging around $350 an hour.
Hmm. Alyssa, is Jackson County unique in its problems?
I think that Jackson County is unfortunately not unique in this. Jackson County does have one of the highest number of unrepresented clients currently. I think that besides Jackson County, we have Multnomah County and Marion County are also very, you know, much in this this problem of unrepresented people. So I think that unfortunately, Jackson County is at the highest, followed by Multnomah County. They vary depending on, you know, depending on the day and the statistic.
So did you just compare Jackson County, which has a much lower population, to Multnomah County, which has a much higher population?
Exactly.
Okay, well, Alyssa, what can others here in Jackson County that are part of the system do to help mitigate the problem and contribute toward a solution? I think Jessica was talking about getting everyone on the same page, like DAs and sheriffs and police officers, judges, and so on and so forth.
I think that is a great start. We also need to start looking into other programming. We have seen that other counties have veterans courts. They have these early disposition courts. They have different resolutions to deal with the types of crime. We don't have that here in Jackson County. And when I started working over here, I noticed that other counties were doing things differently. I'm not saying that that's better or worse, but it certainly is something that we should start looking into. The mental health problem, obviously, in Jackson County is very high. And I think that getting more treatment programs and getting people more involved and starting to open those doors will help a lot.
So, Jessica, what are some of the more innovative and creative solutions that you're seeing around the state that could be implemented here in Jackson County?
You know, the thing that we're seeing that's really been driving the unrepresented population across the state has been turnover within public defense offices. So earlier you asked about attrition. In the past 18 months, we've hired 124 new lawyers into public defense and 118 lawyers have left public defense. And so the counties that are succeeding are the counties that are able to retain their public defenders. And that really seems to be one of the biggest keys to resolving this issue.
Well, how do we focus on retention? What are some of the solutions to retaining our public defenders wherever they are?
Well, we know that lawyers are leaving public defense because of compensation, workload. And so I think the solutions are in those spaces, places where we can support public defenders to be able to have fair wages, but also working on that workload piece. And so that really is going to be that collaborative effort, making sure that we're getting people access to the tools that they need to be good advocates for their clients.
And you talked about a team of non-lawyers, like paralegals and others.
Yes, and we are seeing parts of the state that are utilizing those types of teams. And in fact, we're using them in our state trial level offices. So Alyssa might be able to speak to the wonderful team that we have down there in Jackson County.
Well, I wish we had more time for that, but unfortunately, we've run out of time for this segment. So thank you both, Jessica and Alyssa. We really appreciate your insights.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
My guests were Jessica Camphy, Executive Director of the Oregon Defense Commission, and Alyssa Bartholomew, Senior Deputy Defender here in Jackson County.